is the message of the first part, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. But does it mean that, so if this is the case, then what is the difference between us and the prophets? I mean, we are at the same level. The Holy Prophet himself is saying that I'm a human being just like you. But you Muslims or Shia believe that they have a very greater status and position before God than us. What is the difference? The difference is the next phrase of the verse. Yuha ila. Yes, I'm a human being like you. But the difference is that I'm able to receive the revelation. And it makes the story so much different. So much difference between an ordinary man and a person who is able to receive the revelation.
Well, I could say that biologically speaking, they're the same as other human beings.
Exactly.
But spiritually, they've grown so much in a way that they can have connection to God.
And the prophets are not born as prophets.
Exactly.
I mean, they have done spiritual speaking a lot so
alive.
That, exactly,
they've practiced piety.
God chooses them among the people.
Mm-hmm. And also, maybe God wants us to understand that if there's a human being like you that could be infallible, then you could practice that as well.
Exactly, definitely.
So that is the point.
So having said that, when it comes to Yuha Eli receiving revelation, at least it's referring to three features. Because a person who receives the revelation needs to be infallible. We are talking about the concept of Isma. So yes, he's a person like us, but he's infallible.
Exactly, which is a totally different story than it's one session.
Yeah, and the next point is knowledge. We are talking about the vast knowledge of the prophet which he receives from God and also the miracle that he performs.
Mm-hmm.
All these are related to the concept of receiving the revelation. So my point is that it is true that the Holy Prophet is like a human like us and it has philosophies, but he receives revelation, which means that he's infallible, he has divine knowledge, he's able to perform miracles, and so on and so forth. So we cannot, reduce and decrease the great status and position of the prophets.
Yes, the value of the prophets by saying, okay, they're just like other human beings, so there's no difference between them and the others. So you are listening to Arab English Radio. I hope today's episode was fruitful enough to help you with a better understanding of Islamic concept. For more information, you can visit parstoday.com. Until next session and a new episode of Q&A on Islamic Belief, may Allah protect and bless you all.
حسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Jafar Gonzalez.
Life is passing,
as the water flowing in the river passes when it seeks the sea. And I, heedlessly, sit on the threshold of my house and stare at the passing of life. My name is Raúl González Bornés. I am from Madrid. I was born in 1950 in an active, combatant, communist, and anti-fascist family. I studied in Ramiro de Mastero School. I received my diploma and then went to university to study technical communication engineering and electronic engineering. I studied engineering till 1968 and I was arrested for anti-fascist activities.
Por mis actividades antifascistas fui detenido.
This was my class when I was 7. At the age of 8, 9, yes, it has changed a lot. It was like small houses before. Indeed, it has changed a lot.
Esta es la entrada de Andalucía.
This is the entrance of Andalusia. This region is called España Berocelos. Currently, we are passing Costija Flat. We are descending to the sea. A new land with a different culture starts from here. A different idea of life. A different soul. A different soul and mind.
Alma de un pueblo oprimido.
After my release from prison, I started to work in filmmaking. In 1972, I was forced to do my obligatory military service. When I was doing my military service, I was arrested, imprisoned, and tortured. I was imprisoned in the military ward at the Carabanco prison. In 1974, a little after the assassination of Carrero Blanco, who was General Franco's prime minister, that is, a year before General Franco's death, I was released from prison. That is, sentenced to a year in prison after the court, but I was released a little before the court.
Prácticamente es lo que ya había estado antes del juicio, fui liberado.
Esta escuela tiene un equipo de...
This school had an important basketball team, which was called Student. At the age of 10, we started to play basketball.
Llegábamos a los 10 años, empezábamos a jugar al baloncesto. Formábamos ahí para...
We gathered here to go to the class, and here we played basketball. Andalusia has a deep soul and spirituality. This soil is so deep. It is land with a people who have majestic feelings. Great regional feelings, great artistic feelings, and great human feelings.
Una gran sensibilidad espiritual, una gran sensibilidad artística, una gran sensibilidad humana. Junto a Hanusin, Kablan Masjid Bud.
It was a mosque before. They've changed it to a church.
Esta tierra brota.
Flamenco started from here. When a farmer is working on his farm, his tear and song flowed on his tongue in the form of flamenco. They stole the history of this land up to the point that people do not know who their ancestors were. There was a statue of General Franco here. The first and second grade students were all in this place. They played music here. We played basketball there, and here we played soccer. Everywhere here was open before, but now they are closed. Yes, it is all closed. Only if one of them knows the real history of this land, he will tear. They collected the Qurans and other sacred books and burned all of them. And now, after 500 years, they still celebrate the anniversary of Granada's conquest every year as if they had done a heroic deed. It was a city whose governor surrendered in order to prevent bloodshed. They gave the city disarmed to some barbarians who did not have any heart and pity. They did not understand any languages except oppression. They had no God except money. It is a lie that they were Christians. They never believed in Christ. They never believed in Christ's message. Franco died and democracy reached Spain, and it was the beginning of tears of great disappointment in me because we saw the new democracy and the former one were the same. The only difference is that the new democracy is shown better. The new democracy came with a better disguise, but with more oppression and dictatorship. I saw most of the people who had fought against fascism and all accepted the new logics. They surprisingly accepted even to join the play they called democracy. This made me so disappointed. I started to feel a kind of absurdity in myself. But they could not make me deal with this system and accept it. This issue caused a kind of isolation and seclusion. There are many Spanish words which have Arabic roots, like al-zakia or al-zaytun. It was a time when I felt that I had received a message inviting me to leave Madrid. And some months later, this message of leaving Madrid took me to Granada Mountains for discovering nature. I got familiar with some persons who came here to live. I came here too and lived with them in nature for 4 years. We did not have electricity or gas. We had a primitive life. The house which was located here was a ruin. We asked its owner to let us repair it. We wanted to repair it with logs and stocks, like the other houses here, which are built in a traditional way. Here in nature, we watched the stars at night because there was no electricity. The sky was clear. We could see the passing of the sun and the moon. We saw signs of nature, passing of the seasons, and leaves changing color in the spring. Little by little, I started to think that generally somebody created this process. I started to think about the existence of a creator.
Alguien que lo había creado y empecé a pensar en la posibilidad de la existencia del creador.
I was reading different Bibles, which ended with reading a book by Oscar, titled La Epistola de Profrotium. This book speaks about Jesus Christ in a way that I had never heard throughout my life. Having read the Bible, I found that Christ's message is undoubtedly a divine speech.
El mensaje de Jesús y el mensaje de la palabra divina, sin duda.
Y finalmente, a primeros.
Finally, in the early days of 1983, I started a kind of fasting. I was alone. All my friends went for New Year celebrations. They went to see their families. I started to have a kind of fast, which I only drank water. I went to the library and read books. We, five persons who lived together, had a very large library with different books. I found a book about Islam. It was a small book by Sayyid Qutb, titled, What is Islam? It was after 16 days of fasting when I started to read the book.
Un pequeño libro de Sayyid Qutb se llamaba ¿Qué es el Islam? Y cuando comencé a leer lo que llevaría.
I read that saying prayers five times a day is one of the bases of Islam. A kind of light entered my heart and taught me that this is the way which I should follow. So I accepted Islam and returned to Granada to communicate with Muslims. It was after living here for 4 years, far away from city life, I started to learn Islam's practical precepts, like wudu, ghusl, prayers, and fasting. And this way, I began to follow Islam.
Salat, el ayuno, y así comenzó mi camino por la senda del Islam. Esta es la casa de Pedro.
Here is Pedro's home. He is an intimate friend of mine who became Muslim several years ago.
Se hizo musulmán hace unos años. Bueno, es un hombre de aquí.
This is all his life, what you see here. This is a mystic life from Granada. Well, I visit him whenever I come to Granada because he is a man with a great heart.
Bueno, siempre que vengo a Granada vengo a verle, ¿no? Porque es un hombre de un gran corazón.
Finding God and converting to Islam was a critical moment in my life. Before becoming a Muslim, I can say I was following my survival. But after I converted to Islam, a substantial change happened. All events in my life were in front of my eyes, and the outlook of my life started to appear bright.
Se comienza a aclarar.
I remember the first verse of the Quran I memorized. It was, verily, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Actually, I should explain how I reached Islam. This Quranic verse indicated this stage of my life because all happened to me was a journey to find tranquility in my heart. I passed a very ordinary stage. Actually, I started to observe some Islamic precepts, like prayer and fasting. And as a result, I understood the meaning of Islam and placed it inside my heart. Then, I started to build my surrounding according to God. We are going to Arenas de San Peter, which is a small village. It is about 120 kilometers south of Madrid. Maria Tavajo and Agustin Noviz live there. This husband and wife are translators and writers. They have translated most of Henry Corman's books. They have a very deep and mystic view about life. Agustin has some works, one of which is a criticism of development. In my opinion, it is an amazing book. When I found God and believed in Him, the conditions changed as well, especially when I became a Muslim. A series of new role models appeared to me who had obvious behavior and conduct, like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And after a while, characters like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and other imams who were from Prophet Muhammad's family.
Y la actitud que ellos nos han transmitido con sus vidas y con sus enseñanzas, personas como, en primer lugar, por supuesto,
and even contemporary characters that are our role models, seriously, with their deeds and conducts, like Imam Khomeini,
de guía y revolucionario que.
Firstly, it is not for his role as a leader of an effective revolution in the contemporary era, but substantially for his personal deeds, lifestyle, reactions, and thoughts.
Por su la profundidad de su reflexión personal y de su pensamiento.
Vale, tafsir sureja.
After I knew Islam and accepted it as an ideology, little by little I discovered some new aspects believed by Islamic thoughts. One of these aspects is a socio-political aspect, which is supported by Islamic thought.
La dimensión social y política que la creencia islámica implica.
Islam gave me the opportunity to restore this aspect of life. This was the obsession I had about the social and political issues. This was part of a deeper attitude towards the realities themselves. For example, it was part of this realization that relationship with God affects the person himself and helps reform his personality.
Profundo de la realidad misma, es decir, como parte de una comprensión de que.
This helped me communicate with people. Converting to Islam gradually restored all periods of time when I lost for bad events. Those times, my major concern was social and political struggles, as well as trying to change a society into an ideal social system and freedom. Moreover, I had lost my interest in politics because there was no democracy in the country. Studying the current democracy showed that it was not a step forward to social justice and freedom. Reaching Islam did not just require restoring what you had lost, that is, trying to be happy or enhancing human knowledge. Additionally, it has another important aspect, which requires believing in one single God and Creator for everything.
Sino que además va a aportarle esa dimensión de.
He is the Creator who requires us to have social commitment. This is for defending the religion, justice, and social equity for humans.
Defensa de la igualdad social de los seres humanos.
Actually, this verse of the Quran, which says, "How many a small company has overcome a large company by permission of Allah," is a source of inspiration for contemporary humans. Attention is attracted towards this idea that quantity is not the only important thing. Quantity, which is the main pillar of this civilization, is not of importance.
Es, en mi opinión, una fuente de inspiración.
Personal quality is important. The verse says that the individual is the center of attention. It allows the person to review himself, restore his self-assurance, and know his value.
Sobre la cuestión de la cantidad, no sobre el asunto sobre el que está fundamentada la.
There are some verses in the Quran in which God says, for example, when a person saves another, he saves the whole of humanity. And when a person kills a soul, he kills all of humanity. These verses give one the permission to react. They show the significance of an individual alone in this society which ruins the humanity of humans.
Esta sociedad cosificadora. En ese sentido,
for example, the Islamic resistance in Lebanon is so promising. It has a message which is so promising for humanity, both for believers and non-believers, although its audience is the oppressed.
Muy esperanzador a la humanidad, tanto creyente como no creyente.
The reason is that the main cause of change is not the quantity of humans. The number of people in a revolution is not important, but their self-esteem. It is not necessary that a large number of people be in any movement to change a society in a positive way, but fundamentally, what we need is their high quality of character. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is a good example of Islamic leadership. Although he's an international leader, he's at the forefront of defending his people. His values are more than defending his people, that is, defending the values which save people from deadlock by his life and his family's life. He is not a leader who manages his forces sitting at a desk. He leads this movement by his life and his family's life, to the extent that his son was martyred.
La sangre de uno de sus hijos en la lucha por sus ideales.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah became an international character, especially after Israel's imposed war in the summer of 2006. He is a valuable example of a person who is referred by other people for opposing oppression. On one hand, he is so strong against homicide, oppression, state terrorism, and illegal occupation of lands. On the other hand, he is very flexible and lenient, who embraces all people. No one is excluded. No one of those who can take part in this battle, or at least those who are ready to talk about their ideology. Life is passing, life is passing. And beautiful dreams and your wishes are forgotten. Fame disappears. You'll see none of your ambitions remain, even not a memory.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The militaristic and imperialist foreign policy of the United States has negative consequences for every aspect of life in the U.S. and abroad. Stay with us for an article in this regard, written jointly by Sam Corylinder and Olivia Donocci, writers. This article is published under the heading Negative Consequences of Boundless U.S. Militarism and Imperialism. Here's the details. In recent years, the U.S. has seen great numbers of people and mass movements take to the streets to challenge the status quo. While domestic outrage grows, resistance to the U.S. war machine remains limited. Even as President Joe Biden is looking to pass a military budget of $813 billion, this bloated budget proposal comes as inflation makes basic products unaffordable and funds for the ongoing pandemic are gutted. The militaristic and imperialist foreign policy of the United States has negative consequences for every aspect of life in the U.S. and abroad. As long as Americans are investing so much in the military, not only will Americans not have the money to invest in better things, but they are also exacerbating countless problems on a global level. In order to create the world Americans want and need, U.S. social movements must take up the struggle against militarism. Here are just ways that injustices in the U.S. are fueled by the war machine. Police violence is armed by the Pentagon. Since 1996, 1,033 program has been providing excess military equipment to police departments throughout the United States of America. A 2014 ACLU report titled War Comes Home found that militarized police act aggressively and violently, target black and brown communities, and kill Americans at an alarming tempo. This violence was shown explicitly when city police departments, as well as federal police and the National Guard, were deployed to tear gas, bludgeon, and kettle anti-racist protesters in 2020. Within the last year, we saw activists in Los Angeles and water protectors in the indigenous-led struggle to stop Line 3 from being subjected to similar militarized police suppression. The so-called war on terror has fueled the criminalization of immigrants. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has a massive surveillance database that it uses to track immigrants and immigrant rights activists. ICE is a direct product of the so-called war on terror, which eroded basic privacy rights and established some of the United States' most draconian anti-immigrant policies, which the Biden administration is maintaining. The so-called war on terror also ramped up the long-standing militarization of the United States-Mexico border and raids on immigrant communities. U.S. warmongering fuels hate. Last year, anti-Asian hate crimes in the United States jumped 339%. It is no coincidence that this spike happened as the United States was pushing a foreign policy of military containing China. Similar spikes in anti-Asian violence throughout the United States were prevalent when the United States was at war with Japan and waging a military invasion of Vietnam. During the height of the so-called War on Terror, similar racist violence and systematic racism were directed at Arab and South Asian communities. The U.S. military furthered settler colonial occupation of indigenous lands, from mining uranium and testing nuclear weapons on Navajo land to poisoning and harassing indigenous communities throughout the Pacific, like in Hawaii and Okinawa. The U.S. military maintains colonial violence against indigenous peoples. Meanwhile, the U.S. continues to support apartheid, occupation, and ethnic cleansing in Palestine, giving the fake regime of Israel nearly $4 billion in aid just last year. The U.S. military is the world's largest institutional polluter in the world. The U.S. military is the world's largest oil consumer and causes more greenhouse gas emissions than 140 countries. Along with fossil fuel use, the U.S. military has harmed the environment by dumping toxic chemicals that poison communities throughout the United States. Yet, at COP26, militaries were exempt. Americans have publicly spent $21 trillion since 2001 on the Pentagon, and yet $4.5 trillion could fully decarbonize the U.S. electric grid. Student debt is a predatory trap used for military recruitment. The U.S. Army has outright bragged that it has been able to use the student debt crisis as a way to meet its recruitment goals. This predatory recruitment practice, which many characterize as a poverty draft, means that black, brown, and poor white communities are disproportionately more likely to enlist. When warfare is a priority, healthcare is not. Just like promises of debt cancellation, the military uses promises of healthcare to recruit vulnerable communities. Along with depriving people in the U.S. of healthcare to make military service more appealing, the U.S. imperialism deprives the world of healthcare by suppressing medical innovation if it comes from countries that don't align with U.S. imperialism, like Cuba and China. The military budget must go towards reparations for black, brown, and indigenous communities. Along with maintaining white supremacy and systems of oppression, the U.S. military continues to further bloat its budget every year, taking away wealth that could go towards reparations programs for racial equity. The United States owes reparations to countless communities, including payments to black communities for loss of generational wealth tied to slavery, land back to indigenous communities, and repayments to economies destroyed by the U.S. wars, such as Afghanistan. The military's constant hunger for more money is an obstacle to putting money towards reparations programs.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to answer your questions, issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. We have with us in our studio today Mr. Salman Akavi, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University and an Islamic researcher in the Hafza Almi of Qum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Brother, in our previous session, we have been talking about the classification of behaviors. You said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain faculties, and management of those faculties is really important. And some are in our control that we can, actually maintain or manage very easily. And some, like time, are not in our control, but we can also teach our children the management of time and etc. The last thing we said in the previous session was that how we can make a child learn to resolve a conflict without making quarrels and fights.
The emphasis there was on the mental development of a child.
Yes.
One of the results would be that he would be able to manage conflicts in the future, conflict resolution. But the important thing is the mental development, which means the intellectual.
How he can manage that.
That is about with cognition, knowing the truth,
yes,
finding out the truth, mm-hmm, discovering the truth, how to discover the truth,
yes,
how to understand things, how to resolve problems, how to I'm talking about the mental aspect, the intellectual aspect. Facing them comes to the practical level.
All right.
Then we're talking about the emotional development, controlling my anger, my fear, controlling my feelings. I'm talking about the intellectual level. I'm talking about the cognitive level. I'm talking about the things which are going on in my mind, in my brain, with respect to knowing things, cognition of things.
Yes.
Then we come to the level of the emotions. The emotions have to be managed. My fear, my anger.
Yeah.
If there's depression or there are other states which I have to manage.
All right.
The temperament, I have to be very much at a level of, as we say, equilibrium in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be at peace with myself. The inner feelings and emotions, how do I control them? They are influenced by many factors. But how am I able to cope up the emotional quotient that I have? How do I behave? What my attitude is? What do I go for? What I don't like? What I don't do like? My anger? What I don't like? My hate, my love, my fear,
all right,
courage, all these internal feelings which are there, they have to be managed. And the child has to see me as a parent telling me how to do it, showing me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So stress management, anger management, these are all issues that are related
to the mental development.
To mental development, the emotional development. Then we have the physical health. Let's go through the whole ambit of the classification behavior that we're talking about.
Yes, I will continue the session with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing.
So as I said in the previous session, we're talking about the behavior with ourselves.
Yes.
So the mental health is something which I have inherent in my nature.
Yes.
My physical well-being,
yes,
development.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the growth of the body is not in my control.
True.
But managing it, controlling it, proper food, hygiene,
mm-hmm,
rest, recreation.
Yes.
Even my posture, how I sit,
okay,
how I walk, how I exercise, go, mm-hmm, for sports, even self-defense training.
Yeah.
Very important. Moreover, my clothing, my attire,
okay,
what I wear, how I wear, my living environment, how do I manage my living environment?
Okay.
How do I, for example, the weather which I'm living in, how do I live in that weather? It's cold weather, acclimatization to the weather,
yes,
proper clothing according to the environment.
Environment.
The weather.
It's climate,
it's sunny, it's hot, it's warm.
Rainy.
So these are all related to my physical well-being.
Management.
So I have to be able to do that.
Yes.
As a child, I have to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a parent, then I should know that all these aspects have to be taken care of.
Yes.
And my child should be able to learn them, not in a formal way, but in a very subtle way, in an indirect way. When I'm taking my child to bed, I'm taking him to the bathroom. I'm taking him to, so I have to manage his hygiene or her hygiene, how to wash themselves, how to, I mean, take care of, as I said, the...
How to go for ablution.
Ablution.
Yeah.
Washing themselves up. How to, the clothing which has to take care, which has to, number one, the clothing has to be according to the weather.
Yeah.
The clothing has to be according to the religious precepts, which
religion
say what should be covered. What type of cloth I can wear. For example, a man cannot wear silk, pure silk clothes. All of these things are inbuilt. I mean, physical clothing is not just one thing. It has so many aspects.
Yes.
And my child has to learn them. So,
and I as a parent have to help my child develop all that, whether it's about his food, about his exercising.
Medication. I mean, for example, there's a flu. We go for medication quickly. Why don't we go for natural healing? Why don't we go for natural herbs or whatever? So in the household, you should have all these small things available for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And don't suddenly immediately take him into the doctor.
Yeah.
You in many households, you have these small...
Many herbs.
Herbs or many small...
remedies.
Homemade remedies. So we have to, as parents, know about them. And be able to, we as parents have to know about them, and we have to be able to use those remedies, employ those remedies, and even the child learns them.
Yes.
And it acquires them as a learning which he or she can later on experience, apply in life.
Yeah, and does not get used to so much medication at very early age.
And especially when he's able to go for sports, exercise. He knows how to maintain his posture, physical strength, physical eating properly, taking care of these things, then there's no need for, I mean, rarely one should get sick or take up an ailment or become injured or whatever. I mean, if the proper rules of living are applied and taught and learnt from the tender age of a child, so many things would be going on in a natural way. The upbringing, the health, the physique, the physiology, the hygiene, everything would be balanced.
Yes.
And if that is there, then there's no need to become sick or ill or other. Of course, there may be issues which are out of our control.
But there are certain things that are in our control and we can manage.
We should be able to manage them.
How we can help more our child, we talked about physical development. I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 80th surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Abbas, verse 24, says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. So let man observe his food.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are saying how you as parents can help your children in physical development in terms of their nutrition, in terms of the exercise, recreation, their attire, their clothing, their hygiene, and so on. Yes, brother.
So these are those things which are faculties which are there, present in the human being, in his existence, in his very human body, the body which has been created by Allah Almighty in a beautiful way. And then we have things which are out of our control. For example, we have the management of our time.
Okay.
Now we need to teach ourselves and our children to manage the most
time.
Important
time
resource is time.
That's out of our control. And
but
we need
it's the most precious thing.
Yes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr.
Exactly.
He swears about this time.
Time is passing as the clouds are passing, as is in one of the hadiths. Time is flying. Common knowledge, how to manage it. If I am able to manage my time, if I am able to make sections of, as it has been mentioned in many ahadiths, three types of things have to be done, or four types of things have to be done in our daily lives.
Okay.
For example, one time has to be kept for my relationship with Allah Almighty.
Okay.
So that is one part of my life.
Okay.
One part has to be left for example, earning my living.
Yes.
As an elderly person, mm-hmm. or as a child, preparing to be able to go for my professional life, my career. The third part is for my special leisure time, my resting time, my leisure time, my rest. And the fourth is going out for recreation with my family. Going into the environment, going out into the open. So if I am able to manage my time and the management of the time, it should be around prayer times. As a Muslims,
yes,
we should manage all our affairs in a day on a daily basis around the prayer timings, starting with Fajr and Zuhr, and all of these, the compartments which we make in our lives should be focusing on these prayer times, which are the milestones every day which have to be managed. So
yes, I've seen like many people out there who get up for the Fajr prayers in the morning, even as parents, even as they teach their children, but then they go for sleep again. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to start your day later in the day, then Fajr prayers would have not been that early in the morning. So we have to start our day early in the morning and teach that to our students.
Even breakfast, early morning breakfast is very important. Yes. Nowadays, our kids run off to school without breakfast.
Without any breakfast.
And that is a calamity. I mean, the most important time which one has to take food is
the breakfast.
Is breakfast.
Of course.
Luqamatu sahar mithmarul badan. It has been said in one of the ahadiths that the food that we take at the time of dawn, in the morning after Fajr prayers, that is the most important aspect of food.
Okay.
The most
important meal
of the day.
Okay.
It has the most influence on physiological health.
Yes. Well, these are so important things that parents can teach to their children. Thank you so much for telling us all that. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any suggestions, feedback, or questions, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.